It's been a lot, man. I want it not just for myself, but for everybody in that locker room.
Coach, I'm trying to calm down, Coach.
You don't have to calm down.
This is nice and all, but we're going for Larry for sure.
Everybody stays ready, everybody stays locked in, and that's all you can ask for.
Knowing Giannis, he'll probably be back at some point in the series. This really is it. This is the last 7 games.
We still have work to do.
Here's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What is it that we do?
No days off, baby. We get the people what they want.
Jalen Rose, the day is finally here tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on ABC. It is game one of the NBA Finals. And of course, NBA Countdown will get you ready for that. But we will get you ready here on Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, obviously the biggest key to this series is the health of Giannis Antetokounmpo. He is doubtful. He will likely not play. But outside of him and his impact on this game, what are the keys that you are looking for in game one of the NBA Finals?
I'm rooting for the big fella to get healthy, and hopefully he gets a chance to appear in this series. And I want to make sure I shout out Giannis, and I want to make sure I shout out Devin Booker. You know I'm a really loud voice when it comes to making sure players who get drafted by a team, especially if they're elite all NBA caliber players, I appreciate when they stay loyal to those situations and they get paid off. This happened for Devin Booker. People were asking for him to be out of Phoenix. This happened for Giannis. People were asking him out of Milwaukee. So for them to both be in the finals is terrific for the league. With that being said, after 16 years, the story is Chris Paul, David Jacoby. That's the story. Just think about it like this. Chris Paul, when he got to the Clippers, they were a lob city. He had to reinvent his reputation because they didn't get it done. He went to Houston with James Harden. Some dubious things happened. They didn't get it done. And like a seasoned veteran, he had to go to Oklahoma City and replay for his value, not only as a player, but as a leader and as a game changer. And that put him in position, along with the fact that Devin Booker was outstanding and Phoenix was 8-0 in the bubble, to add Chris Paul, to add Jay Crowder, veterans, to go with Ayton, who's a terrific young big, who's been outstanding this year's playoff. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson. Cameron Payne was out of the league. And the poise and the discipline Chris Paul plays with, not only just the way he closed them out in the fourth quarter with the oohs and ahs and the buckets, but how about keeping his composure when Patrick Beverley lost his, including the push, because that could have became a melee. And we could be talking about all of the people that are suspended for the NBA Finals, not just the fact that Patrick Beverley got suspended for one game.
That's a really good point. I don't consider that because I remember people online were talking about how the Suns should have reacted to that. But I love the way the Suns reacted, because why waste your time on Pat Bev when you are facing the Bucks in game one tonight at 9 p.m.? One of the things that I'll be keying on is something that was very crucial to the Bucks-Hawks series, which is, what will the Bucks defense do against the pick and roll? Remember game one, they got torched. Brook Lopez was dropping back, and they weren't switching at all. Over the course of that series, they started switching more and more against Trae Young and his pick and roll. However, when CP3 has the ball and DeAndre Ayton is the roll man, there is a very versatile duo right there. So if you drop back your big, CP3, where is he best shooting from? Oh, that's right, the elbow. You can't give him that shot. And if you switch, then expect DeAndre Ayton to eat on the smaller defenders of the Bucks. And without Giannis, I don't think Giannis is going to play, but even if he does, he won't be 100%. Can they keep Brook Lopez in the game? Do you remember game 5 of the last series against the Hawks? Brook Lopez looked like the best player in the league. He was dunking on everybody. He was cutting. He was not just standing on the outside shooting threes. If you can get that Brook Lopez, that can give him a chance. But can the Suns play him off the floor with the pick and roll? That's what I'm looking at.
I think they can. I think they will. And you don't really scrap what you've done. You're in the NBA Finals. And also, Brook Lopez is a 7-footer. His mobility is going to be challenged against some of the best perimeter players we have in the league. Guys like Trae Young are wizards with the ball. So absolutely he's going to struggle. But here's one of the things. DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul hooking up as an assist combination is one of the tops in the league. CP3 and Devin Booker are also amongst the top five in the league at making mid-range buckets. So while the pick and roll against Trae Young is played a lot different because he has an unlimited range. See, he can shoot from the hash mark. He can shoot from half court. You don't really see Chris Paul and Devin Booker doing that as their forte. So for Brook Lopez, I think that allows him to still stay in the game, be a guy that can take Ayton as a roller, but more importantly, play dominant in the paint. Play like a seven-footer. We saw him earlier in his career play with his back to the basket, play mid-range, and be a 20-point scorer. But as the league evolved, players like Brook Lopez evolved, and he started to shoot more threes to spread the floor for Giannis. But they're going to need he, Bobby Portis, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, all of those guys to get points in the paint like they were doing in the previous series to close out.
Absolutely. And as we've been leading up to this series, it's been so much time and dissecting all the matchups and looking at the online stats and analytics and reading the stuff. And one matchup that's come to light that's really important in this series, and that is Chris Paul versus the referee Scott Foster. If you cover the league closely, you know that this is a rivalry that is dated back years and years and years. But Chris Paul in playoff games that are officiated by Scott Foster, he is favored in 7 of the 11 games, and these lost all 11 games. That is not a coincidence. Jalen, do you think that this sort of hype around this matchup will affect the way that the NBA selects when Foster appears in this series?
Not at all. You see he's officiated 11 of Chris Paul's games. You see it didn't stop at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. Scott Foster has proven to be one of the best at what he does. Chris Paul is clearly a Hall of Famer. And also, Chris Paul, along with being talented and a terrific playmaker, I think what people forget about him that I love, he's also an irritant. Like, all of the things that you love about Patrick Beverley, Chris Paul is a lot of those things, too. It's just that he's a much better basketball player. So I don't think that Scott Foster officiating the game, per se, is going to change the way the Phoenix Suns and Monty Williams approach the game. However, for Chris Paul, it's going to be in the back of his mind when those 50-50 calls go against his team. But I think the Phoenix Suns are going to be ready to stay focused and stay disciplined like they did in the previous series.
That's a really good point. Now, Jalen, you know that you are the best NBA analyst walking this planet. However,
thank you, brother.
I am ESPN's senior broken nose analyst, and I have noticed something about Devin Booker. I've had my nose broken so many times that I'll tell you what, them closing out the series a little bit early is going to make him feel better. He hasn't really been the same ever since he broke his nose, but those 3 days off, those 4 days off, then the swelling goes down, the nose feels a little bit better, you feel a little bit more confident about it. I'm expecting the old Devin Booker to come back tonight in game one having
we
a big
that
game.
Old
and that
thing
is
back.
Not just my opinion as a co-host of Jalen and Jacoby. That's my opinion as the senior ESPN Broken Nose analyst. We have a lot more about game one coming, but we're going to turn our attention to international basketball for a second. Luka Doncic and the Slovenians have qualified for the Olympics. Congratulations to them. And Luka said it would mean more to win a gold medal with this Slovenian team than it would to win an NBA championship. What do you think of those remarks?
So if you're a die easy human being, like my brother, the handsome David Jacoby, you might not get this. But for somebody that's 10 toes down with the 313, that bosses up before every show, that says, what up, though? It means more to me to get the love from my hometown than the rest of the world. And by the way, it would also mean that they beat Team USA, which is an amazing accomplishment in itself. So I understand exactly where he's coming from. They're not going to win a gold medal, but I understand why he feels like it is going to be more important to his home country than it will be to win a world championship with the Dallas Mavs.
I agree with that. I feel like if you're Luka Doncic, you go to sleep tonight, you expect to win multiple NBA championships by the time you hang up your sneakers. But I think that he's looking at this Slovenian team will always be a huge underdog in the Olympics, and having the whole country at your back and that plane ride home and that parade that they would have will surmount anything that you can do in the relatively small scale of an NBA championship, which he expects to win. Jalen, it is now time for one of my favorite clips we've ever had on this show. It is Soft Move or Boss Move.
Hey,
Jalen, this impressive video of Lil Uzi Vert breakdancing is in its own right something to be celebrated, because I don't think there are too many MCs walking the planet today that have that kind of uprock, this kind of floor work. However, this video has nothing to do with the breakdance moves of Lil Uzi Vert. When you watch it again, watch James Harden and Meek Mill in the background. James Harden and Meek Mill in the background are having a tickle fight. Jalen Rose, being at the club and having a tickle fight, soft move or boss move?
Definitely a soft move, but I got to make sure I shout out Lil Uzi, because so many times OGs don't give the young G's credit for being historians of the game. Good point. I'm pretty sure he's probably one of the only people at his age that is doing an uprock, that is doing a windmill, that are doing flares. Extremely impressive. If somebody who grew up breakdancing and had the little breakers only cardboard and used to keep the zip up so you could be sliding in the hoodie when you do your head spin and your back spin, a little eyes eye pouch around your waist, and wanted to be like Lee and B Street and Powerful Pecs and Lil Lep and Crush Groove and Turbo and Ozone, that's classic by Lil Uzi Vert. But come on, Meek Mill.
How ticklish is Meek Mill? How ticklish is Meek Mill? My man was like on the ground, hunched over. Like, how ticklish is Meek Mill? That's my big takeaway from this. Meek Mill is an extremely ticklish human being. Everyone's got their thing.
One word. Number one, that's what happens when you're extremely rich. You're just laughing for no reason. They're just rich, Jacoby. They're laughing for no reason. The second thing, medicinal. You're also laughing for no reason.
Well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play for the Packers, but he is still laughing for no reason. He told us about his offseason. Look at this man. He ain't worried about football.
He's living his best life.
We'll be back right after this. You're watching J&J.
He's sucking that tummy in, ain't he?
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up,
Aaron Rodgers spoke out about his offseason. Do you know what he had to say? He said, I was doing what's best for me. I was doing what's best for me mentally, getting my mental health game right. And he made no mention of whether or not he was going to come back. What do you think about him enjoying his time in Hawaii, getting his mentals right?
He's an adult. He's been working for that company for over 15 years, and he has no guaranteed money left on his contract. So I'm at where I'm at. I'll be where I be. If I could be where everybody wanted me to be, when everybody wanted me to be there, I'd be confused. I'm not mad at him at all, dog. Here's what you should be looking forward to, however, if you're a Packers fan. He never said that he wasn't going to play this year. That's the one thing he has not said. He said a few things, and he's also intimated some things with how he posted. But he has not said that he was not going to play this year. That may be a good sign for the Packers.
You know what? I think he plays week one. I'm going to come out and say it. I think week one he plays. He's a vet. He doesn't want to go to training camp. We've all watched Hard Knocks. That looks like work. And you saw him in those pictures sucking in his stomach that you pointed out. He doesn't want to work. You know what I mean? He's going to be there. This is all going to fix itself like 10 days before week one, and he'll be fine.
I totally agree with you, David Jacoby, and here's why. Without the guaranteed bread, without the long-term commitment, that means the organization showed me that I might not be as valuable to them as I thought. So that means no extra credit. That's all. He's just doing no extra credit. That's it.
He'll be there. I like it. Week one, he'll be under center. You heard it here first on Jalen Jacoby. Not reporting it, but just saying it. Moving on. Jalen Anthony Rose. Zion Williamson turns 21 today. I hope he's not in New Orleans. Can't have your 21st birthday party in New Orleans.
How about the fact that Zion Williamson didn't win Rookie of the Year because he was injured? He and Brandon Ingram didn't make the playoffs this year. Stan Van Gundy got fired. They may lose Lonzo Ball. He's only 21 years of age. And look how many points he averaged this year, dog. He averaged 27 points.
Efficient, though. Shot like 70% from the field.
Listen up, boys and girls. This man is about to be averaging 30 for multiple seasons in his career. And you don't see him as a shooter because he's not. You don't see him as what we consider a scorer. He's not. But you know what he is? A freak athlete with great handle. And he's a bowling ball out there. Look at him. He's a bowling ball out there. Terrific handle for his size. But here's what I'm waiting to see. How they're going to fit somebody alongside him and B.I. That's the one thing. A lot of this footage is Zion playing the five, which means B.I. is playing the four. That's a disconnect with all of those great bigs in the West. But Zion, terrific young player. Congratulations. Happy 21st birthday.
Zion is something that we've never seen before, and so is Shohei Ohtani, who was voted into the All-Star game, but he did something that no one has ever done before. What is that?
Not only is he going to... This is crazy. He made the All-Star game as a pitcher and as a hitter.
That's not fair.
Hold on. Let me rewind the tape. This dude got 31 home runs. 31 home runs. Some of the all-time greats that have had at least 30 home runs are guys like Barry Bonds, going into All-Star break. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Ken Griffey Jr. This guy is incredible. I'm telling you, Jacoby, I cannot wait to go see him play. I'm going to be at the Tiger game like Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to be having my shirt off, but I ain't going to be stuck sucking in my stomach. I'm going to let mine stick out.
Let it hang over the seat in front of you. Let it hang over the seat in front of you. It's just all those legendary hitters that you name. How many of them also made it as a pitcher? Absolutely none. This is something we've never seen before. I love what Shohei Ohtani is doing. Shohei Ohtani is doing something very important for Major League Baseball. He's bringing in the casual fans. He is that type of phenomenon. Jalen Rose. Summer camp, they always have the camp versus counselors game. I've been in many of them over the course of my summer camp career. But check out this summer camp counselor giving the kids buckets. What do you think about this?
I'm not mad at him at all. That's how you, and he's versatile with it. He ain't just like using his size and his strength over them. He hitting J's, he doing dunks, he making threes.
Hold up. Shorts are too short, though, Jay. Come on. As a member of the Fab Five, the shorts are too short.
I remember multiple times I got a chance to participate against camp counselors. One was when Isaiah was giving his camp. And I'll never forget, I scored on Mark McGwire, and I started talking trash. Then he caught, hey, dog, this dude got gay. Hey, Mark McGwire, I started talking trash to him, and he turned around, and he faced up, and he tried to knock the teeth out of my mouth. He literally like elbowed me straight in the face and everything. I was like, yo, it was crazy. That's when players would start wearing those zebra print pants and those tight like print pants. Shout out to the OG Big Draws, Mark McGwire.
Shout out to Mark McGwire. Did not know his nickname was Big Mark Draws. McGwire. But that's making me love him even more.
Yeah, post game, Big Draws. You know what I'm saying? He's like 6'6", 6'7". You know what I'm saying? Once he got you on his backside, it was over. He put you on his hip. He get buckets. Look up Mark McGwire, ladies and gentlemen.
You picked the wrong camp counselor to talk trash to. When we come back, we have one of the best stories that you will ever hear, and it comes from Seth Rogen, so you know it is good. And Stanley Cup Finals wrap up. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Stay tuned. Thank you for watching Jalen and Jacoby on television. Don't forget, we have podcast exclusive content every single day on the podcast. Follow the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Seth Rogen told a story where Paul Rudd watched him go into a suite to get a massage. What did Paul Rudd do? He convinced the masseuse to switch with him, so Paul Rudd ended up giving the massage to Seth Rogen, and he did not notice. Love this prank. What do you think?
You taught me that I could be mean if I was funny. And this is funny, but it's hyperbole. This is cap. I don't believe that this actually happened without him recognizing. This is something I would probably try to do to you, except I know that you would know the difference between the original person massaging you and my hands massaging. Maybe,
I think Paul Rudd might just be an excellent masseuse. That's what I learned from this. Paul Rudd has very supple hands, and he is an excellent masseuse. Did not know that before this story. Jalen, we have some news in the NHL. The Stanley Cup Finals will go to a Game 5. The mayor of Tampa Bay said that perhaps the Lightning should lose Game 4 so they can celebrate in their home arena. Jalen, did the mayor just curse the Stanley Cup Finals?
It don't work like that, Mayor. Especially in hockey. A 3-1 lead by no means is safe. You got to find a way to close it out by all means ASAP if you can.
Jalen, 9 o'clock tonight on ABC, Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Very quickly, I got Suns in 6. Who you got?
Wow, I like that pick. I'll roll with that. Suns and 6. I'm not mad at that at all. I'm happy for CP3, ready to see D-Book ball. Salute.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is the podcast exclusive content that we make sure we give our podcast listeners, our favorite type of people that consume Jalen and Jacoby content. Jalen, I just told you at the end of the show, sprung it on you. I've got Suns and 6 in this series. Suns and 6, and I feel confident about it. Confident about it. How you feel?
I'm not mad at that at all. I'll roll with that as well, not knowing the health of Giannis. And the Suns have done a terrific job to me of staying the course. Now, if you look back at their journey, they've been really fortunate. Lakers without AD.
Mm-hmm.
Nuggets without Jamal Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers without Kawhi, and they get a chance to play against the Bucks without Giannis. Talk about fortunes opening up and putting you in position to be successful. This is a great opportunity for Chris Paul to get his first championship, Jacoby. I was looking forward to hoping it'll be a kind of a big three versus big three. Because that matchup with him and Holiday is going to be great.
Yep.
Devin Booker versus Middleton is going to be great. But Giannis is missing. I would love to see the big fella Ayton have to go against him. So I'm rolling with you on the prediction. Suns in 6, as long as Giannis isn't healthy.
Giannis is not officially out, but I just don't see a world in which he plays game 1. However, we get to game 5, game 6. Maybe he will be available. I hope that we see him in this series at some point. But I wouldn't count out the Bucks winning one in Phoenix without Giannis. I wouldn't count that out at all. We've seen that Drew Holiday can turn it on. Chris Middleton's pretty consistent, and he's a scorer that needs to be recommended. When he gets hot, when he got hot against the Hawks, it was just over. It was just over that one game when he got hot against the Hawks, and it was the third quarter, I believe, at Game 5. But man, I'm excited for this one. I'm really excited for this one. I want to talk to you about your day, though, right? NBA countdown, NBA finals, NBA finals. I know you think about the suit. I asked you earlier, do you have the outfit picked out? And your answer was what?
No, I don't. And here's why. This is a unique NBA finals, Jacoby. It's too hot to be crisp.
What?
It's too hot to be crisp,
no,
dog.
No, no. Get the Marcellus Wiley fan.
Let me tell you something, dog. He wasn't carrying that fan in Phoenix. He's carrying that fan in Los Angeles. Let me tell you something. You put on a collared shirt if you want to. When you walk from the hotel to the car, you're sweating. When you walk from the car to the building, you're sweating. When you get inside of the building, the doors are opening as fans continue to come in. You're sweating. It's literally too hot to try to be crisp. I tried that in game 1, dog. You couldn't tell on TV, but I was sweating all through my shirt, sweating all through my blazer. So literally, I'm going to have to go get me a couple of little round neck type shirts to at least wear underneath the blazer.
Hit the brakes, Dev. Hit the brakes. It's game day and you haven't even acquired the fit yet? Like, you're going shopping today? And
go
I know you
shopping.
Have the haircut scheduled. I know you have the haircut
go
scheduled.
Shopping.
I'm worried about you now, Jay. I'm worried about you now.
Go shopping.
You're going to forget. You're supposed to spend your time poring over notes and sports and information group giving you stats, getting on conference calls. Nope, you're going to spend at least 3-4 hours of your day today just getting your look together. But you always do. You always do.
It ain't going to be that hard, fam, I'm telling you. Any blazer with any round neck shirt with a fresh cut, that's the look, period.
Okay, question. Very important question. It's about barber loyalty. It's the finals. Did you go with your brand new, talented female local Phoenix barber, or did you import shiz from Los Angeles?
So this is controversial, and I'm glad you're having me do this on Wax. So for everybody that has paid attention to me for public consumption, for the most part, Detroit is my hometown. Shout out to Sebastian. He keeps me tight when I'm there. And my guy B. Hess for a long time. But my family, my kids, as you know, raised in Georgia. Shout out to my guy Hawk. He keeps me right when I'm in the South.
Atlanta Hawk.
East Coast, Andy Authentic. Keeps me tight in that proximity. Sean Porter, shiz, 20 years in the building. Keeps me right when I'm in L.A., which is extremely close to Phoenix.
Drivable, dog.
Which is extremely close to Phoenix.
Lights got to be cheap.
So for game one, shout to Nicole, who's going to hook me up for the game tonight.
Big
and I believe
Nicole.
Each time I'm in Phoenix, she has earned it because she's dope at what she do. That I don't need to import shiz because she can hold it down.
No disrespect to shiz, but listen, I just want Nicole. This is the biggest day of Nicole's career. You know what I mean? This is her game. This is her Chris Paul NBA Finals game one moment. I'm sure she's thought about it last night when she was lying in bed. She's looking at pictures of you, the last cut. And I'm sure that she is going to perform on this stage. I look forward to watching you perform on your stage at 8 p.m. as well. There was some news in the NBA we couldn't get to. Nate McMillan, no surprise. You'll never believe this, but Nate McMillan is no longer the interim coach with the Hawks. He got a 4-year deal. What do you think about this development?
No surprises. They basically had the best record in the league since he took over as the head coach. And if you look back at the day he got hired, watch our show. I specifically said, it's a great thing for Nate McMillan that he got hired by the Hawks. But the hourglass is ticking if you're Lloyd Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody within league circles knew that Nate McMillan would be in position to get that job if they struggled. And once he got the job and Bogdanovich came back and Red Velvet continue to improve his game. You have some productivity on the wing, even without Hunter and without Reddish. Gallo played some good minutes for him to get him through the regular season. And so their season ultimately was defined by Trae Young and how he was getting his points. He's always been a terrific scoring and assist player. But he found ways to keep his turnovers down and keep his teammates engaged and try to compete defensively. And when you do that, you earn the trust and the respect of your teammates. And also, you know it's your season when Clint Capella making shots over the backboard. Like, you know it's your season, right? All right. Come on now. You know it's a magical season when stuff like that happening. So shout out to the Atlanta Hawks. Shout out to my brother, Grant Hill, who's a part of their ownership group. As you know, I go to a lot of Hawks games. I go to a lot of Pistons games, go to a lot of sporting events. And me and him talk a lot about this team. And you remember when the start of the season came, I told you that the Hawks was going to ball this year.
Yeah, you did. It didn't start that way. Did not start that way. Did not. The first 20 games didn't look like that premonition was going to come to fruition, but it did.
And so I'm happy for the Hawks. I'm happy for Mac 10. And here's also what I'm happy for. former players now being recognized in leadership positions in the NBA legitimately. Look around the league. Chauncey Billups, Ime Udoka, Monty Williams has his team in the finals.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd, who just got hired by the Dallas Mavs.
And so, James Jones. Don't forget James Jones, the architect of the Phoenix Suns roster.
Absolutely. And even Rick Carlisle is a former player, by the way. And so what does that mean, right? What does that mean? So many times, Jacoby will walk into an office and people will say he has no experience. There is, let me say this properly. There's no more on-job experience than playing. There's no more on-job. If a team has said, hey, let's try to stop Jacoby. Hey, you know what? When Jacoby gets the ball and he runs his pick and roll, let's do this. If somebody said that about you before, and by the way, you don't make it to the NBA unless that's been said about you in high school, college, and in the league. If that's been said about you, that means not only are you a performer, you're required to be a student. And the one thing you get as a player is to play for multiple coaches, to play with multiple teammates, to be in multiple situations. The last 2 minutes of the game, the first 2 minutes of the game, you understand what it's like getting a rookie call go against you. You understand what it's like to have a veteran call go your way. But here's the thing that people are now paying attention to and learning. In theory, not to dismiss the job of a coach, because shout to Coach Boonholzer, who did a terrific job with this Milwaukee Bucks team. So I'm not summarily dismissing the job of Tom Thibodeau, who didn't play in the league. But what I am saying
comes
is,
to mind.
Correct, Exposure, my guy. He's my fantasy coach. But here's what I want to make sure I acknowledge. Players 7 through, in this year, 17, because you were able to have 17 roster spots. Those are the players you're coaching. So if you're Nate McMillan, right? Those are the guys on your roster that you're coaching. DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish. Like, you're coaching those guys. Mm-hmm. You're managing Trae Young. That's a partnership.
Interesting.
You see what I mean? And the ability to communicate with players now has become more important than with somebody writing on a clipboard. You remember we used to pay attention and everybody used to wonder, like, what's on the clipboard? Like, what play are they drawing up? Now when you watch the NBA, they're not, in theory, running plays. They're running actions.
Mm-hmm.
When you're watching the game, they're running actions. When Chris Paul or Devin Booker come across half court, that's an action that the defense is going to dictate who gets the shot ultimately.
I think a great example of what you're trying to say is another former player that you didn't mention whose first year on the job was very successful, Steve Nash. You don't see Steve Nash. I don't see James Harden looking over at Steve Nash, getting a number from him, and then telling the rest of the team what they're going to run. You know what I mean? When you see Steve Nash on the sideline, he's got his arms crossed. He might call timeout from time to time, but you don't see him like barking at the point guard before the possession like I'm used to seeing in like the 90s.
Also, but, and again, not to dismiss the role of that barking coach. That's just his personality. Monty Williams, that's just his personality. Tyronn Lue, that's just his his personality is to be up and constantly working the refs and constantly have elbow grease, as I like to call it, into each possession. Monty Williams is more of a tactician. He'll sit back, he'll massage the situation. And so what they're doing, though, to your point, they're managing the game, but they're also managing the relationships of the players that they have on the floor and trusting them to make the play. Because the point I'm trying to make to you is a lot of times the defense dictate who gets the shot, not the play that you run. So many times we think that we got this genius play that we're about to run to get Michael Jordan a shot, right? So deep. We're going to do cross pick, down pick, side pick. We're going to do all of this amazing stuff to get Jordan the shot, right? And then all of a sudden, he just gets the ball, isolate, jab, 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 and shoot the ball. Oh, they going to double team him? All right, here you go, Steve Kerr. Those are actions. And so players have a distinct advantage here. Not only are you able to communicate, but you're able to communicate in their voice. See, the people that listen to this podcast for 10 years, you pay attention, Jacoby, when people say, I watch the show or I listen to the show. I've heard you say this so many times. This is what I mean. I can be the smartest person on earth, but if I'm speaking Chinese to the audience, it don't matter how smart I am. It goes over everybody's head and they don't get it. That's the same thing with being a coach. You're managing personalities. You're managing relationships. And also you're being a healer because you don't win every play. There's turnovers. There's bad shots. Look at Ben Simmons. That's coaching. Like, like this offseason, that they got some coaching to do with him. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of it's from the neck up. It's not even physical. And who's their coach? Doc Rivers. A guy that's going to be able to speak his language as a player and understand what it's like to go 0 for 5 or not have confidence in his shot. You know what else this reminded me of? I just thought about something. And by no means am I putting myself in Kevin Durant or Larry Bird kind of shooting or Steph Curry category. But you know what I've never done? I've never hesitated to shoot. I never lost my confidence shooting, ever. I played with a broken wrist, broken hand. I was still shooting. So for me to see a player that's as talented as Ben Simmons, and follow me here, that won't attempt a shot outside of the paint, that's from the neck up. They got some coaching to do this offseason with him.
I watched a lot of you, Jalen Rose. I watched a lot of you play live while it was happening, and yeah, you don't have to tell people like me that you didn't hesitate to shoot. You know,
I'm gonna shoot.
Yeah, you were out there.
I'm gonna shoot that thing
to get the buckets. Really appreciate that insight. You will only get that kind of insight on the podcast exclusive of Jalen and Jacoby. So make sure to tell a friend to subscribe to that. And another thing we need you to do: rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts. And call us, 985-80-JALEN. When you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. We want to make you part of the show, just like this.
Yo, what's good, Jalen Jacoby? It's your boy Ty from the ATL. Shout out Reggie. You know you got to say that. I want to ask you guys a very just interesting question. Tomorrow is my 21st birthday. Woohoo, very, very excited. No, I'm not. That's the problem. I'm not excited. I should be excited, but I don't know why I'm not excited. And I'm going to the strip club with my friends, and I'm sure that'll be fun, but I've already been to a strip club, so how much more fun can it really be? So my question for you guys is, what did you guys do for your 21st birthday? I'm assuming, Jalen, you were in the NBA, and there were some 40s involved, and Jacoby, I'm assuming you were 21, there was some medicinal involved. So yeah, let me know if I'm right, and just have a good one, guys.
Ty from the ATL. First of all, I understand. I've got a couple pieces of insight. First, I'm going to answer this direct question. I'll tell you exactly what I did for my 21st birthday. I have no idea. I have no clue. That memory is not, that file didn't come up. And I'm sure there's good reason why that file didn't come up, some of which you might have outlined during your voicemail. But I will say this about 21st birthday. It's kind of like New Year's Eve or a first date. There's just too much expectations and pressure put on it. You'll probably have more fun going to the strip club when you're not the center of attention, when your homeboys aren't trying to buy you a million shots and a million dances. You'll probably have more fun going to the gentleman's club with just one homeboy on a regular Tuesday that's not a celebration. And another thing is, don't get too drunk. is everyone's going to try to get you drunk. Don't you can't take, accept every shot. You can't be Jalen Rose and take too many shots. You got to be Ben Simmons and not take that many shots.
Happy birthday. Thank you for the call. We appreciate the love and support. My 21st birthday, I was in the NBA. It was my rookie year. And it was a turbulent season because Dan Issel was initially my coach when I got drafted. And the first couple of months, he dealt with some personal issues. And while he was dealing with those issues, he decided to step down as the coach. And then Gene Littles, shout to him, who was our assistant, became the head coach. So by February, I was already on my second coach. Bernie Bickerstaff, who was the president and the GM, also coached the team. So a lot of people don't realize my rookie season, I had three coaches. Not good.
That's wild.
Not good. That's not good for the player development. It's not good. Especially somebody that was trying to figure his game out. So you see a player like me now that's 6'8", that can dribble, pass, and shoot, Swiss Army knife. You don't even have to overthink it. But for me, when I came out, it was, are we going to allow him to be the point guard? Is he going to be the point forward? Or should we play him off the ball? So I was navigating all of that around my 21st birthday. And I do remember, however, more than one time, because I'm black, I celebrated my birthday. And so it didn't have to be on January 30th. It depended on where I am. So it could have easily been January 15th, and that was the reason to go to the strip club in Miami. It could have been January 20th. It could have been, that's the reason to go to strip club in Houston. It could have been February 5th. That was the reason to go. So I'll say this. Number one advice. Two very important things. Jacoby said, one, don't get too drunk. Number two, since it's your birthday, you got to flip it. Don't make it like everything's about you. Like Thanksgiving Day, I don't really eat a lot because it's too much food. It's too many expectations. It's like, I'm not getting the anticipation to pig out like that until my Lions play the Super Bowl on Thanksgiving each year. With that being said, you got to flip it and make sure your peeps having fun. That's what you do. Make your birthday party. And in order for it to be your birthday party, that means everybody needs to be having fun, not just you. You don't want everybody step. And by the way, a couple of things. Don't take a cake or nothing corny into a strip club. Don't do that.
No sparkling on the bottles. Don't make them sing you happy birthday.
Don't do none of that.
And then don't blow anything out.
No. And don't be the guy that now that you're in the spot, the manager know it's your birthday. The bartender know it's your birthday. All of the dancers know it's your birthday. The reason why I say that, because you don't want the other customers to know it's your birthday. You don't want the other customers to know it's your birthday. Because they're going to be jealous because y'all buying up all of the attention. Y'all are buying all of the attention. You buying your friends dances. They're buying you dances. And you're going to celebrate and have an amazing time. Let us know how it goes.
You go to Applebee's, you tell them it's your birthday, they give you a free dessert. You go to strip club, you tell them your birthday, they charge you an extra $1,000. That's just how it works. That's how it works. You go to Chili's, you tell them it's your birthday. Go ahead. They'll come out with some churros or something, right? You tell them at the strip club, they'll say, oh, how many bottles do you want, sir? How many bottles do you want? It's your birthday. Hey, you should celebrate.
Hey, you can go in this room for 30 minutes and pay $500. And you go, well, why would I go into a room and leave my 10 friends?
Yeah, for 30 minutes during my birthday for $500. $60 a minute, a dollar a second. Nope, my math is wrong, but who cares? Happy birthday, bud. Again, I was going to say one more time, don't get too drunk. Don't get too drunk.
But you know what? Don't. Maybe you can look at this on the calendar, Jacoby. I think I recall actually like literally something that happened around my 21st birthday. I got a DNP. I got one DNP my rookie year. It was in Miami, as a matter of fact, I believe.
I'll find it.
And that was right before Dan Issel stepped down. He gave me a DNP.
I think I was in Miami,
and I believe it was around my birthday. Because I remember celebrating, even though I got a DNP, to DNP. Try to keep my self-esteem and to try to keep my
You got 7 minutes one game. There's 3 minutes one game.
Oh, that's what it was. Got it.
I don't see a DNP. I see seven minutes around your birthday. On the 27th, I see 7 minutes. Yeah.
I speak facts, dog. Your boy, this is 10 years in the game. Hey, dog.
That's a million years ago.
I played a lot of NBA. Come on, dog. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I played 1,000 NBA games, man. I remember that, right?
Seven minutes. You're usually getting about 20 or 25, and then seven's it is an outlier when you look at Basketball Reference.
Well, I'm not going to throw any shots or shade at Dan Issel because he was dealing with some personal issues, but I do remember that. I do remember that, and I had a great time in Miami because I was fresh. I ain't play.
Good for you. You got a lot of energy. You know what? I got advice for this gentleman. I think his name is Tom or Todd. I'm sorry. I couldn't remember. Couldn't hear it that well. Here's what I did on my wedding night. My wedding night, like, I didn't drink leading up to the wedding. I think it's always weird when people do that. People want to, like, give you shots and stuff. All your homeboys are like, oh, it's your wedding. Let's take the nerves off and give you some shots. Like, no, dog. I'm going to be sober. I'm basically signing a contract. Like, I'll be good. I'm going to be sober for this. And then I was in first gear with the consumption for hours. You know what I mean? You got to slow play it. And then you sprint to the finish. That's my advice there. Is you jog. You jog the first 20, 22 miles of the marathon, and then sprint the final four. That would be my advice.
Jacoby, you're going to appreciate
one more. What's that? Go ahead.
You're going to appreciate my 4th of July weekend. All I got to tell you guys.
We got recaps?
I was in an undisclosed location, and I got a chance to hang out with a few of my favorite people.
Yes.
Shout to my godfather, John McClain. One of the co-founders of Interscope Records. He oversees the legacy of Michael Jackson.
Who?
And Marvin Gaye.
Who?
John McClain, my godfather. Got a chance to spend time with him. Toes in the sand. Sleep, fall asleep, wake up. All of that. And you know, he got chefs on chefs on chefs bringing food. You know what I did? No, I'm cooking.
Whoa.
I'm cooking.
Oh.
I'm about to stand in this kitchen and cook. You know what I'm saying? Like, John has had a couple of strokes over the past 15 years, and his mobility is improving a lot. And he does so much for so many people. I was sitting right there when Snoop called, was trying to get in Marvin's room. I was sitting right there. Do so much for so many people. You know who else came by? Uncle Denzel. Yeah, Uncle Denzel. Yeah, got a chance to chop it up with the legend, D. You know, about life. You know, about the game. And remember, his son's name is John David. He named him after his good friend and brother from another, John McClain. That's who his son is named after.
Big
no
shout
question.
To JD. Blew up.
I also got a chance to hang out with one of my great friends who happens to be the owner of the Pistons, Tom Gores. Got a chance to hang out with him. Have a couple of adult beverages, talk about the Pistons' number one overall pick. Chefs on chefs. So, so much food. I walked to the, it was just smoking. I just let the smoke get in my face. Just fog up my glasses. So much smoke. And I'm talking about smoke from the grill, for anybody who's gonna misconstrue what I'm saying. Last but not least, I got a chance to hang out with the founder of this show, William A. Simmons.
William H. Simmons.
I got a chance to hang out with my brother, his family, his wife. It was so dope to catch up
with
our guy.
Shout out to Carrie. Shout to Ben and Zoe.
No doubt.
See, what people don't know, is Bill Simmons is the fourth funniest person in his family. He's the fourth funniest person in his family.
I was just about to say this. Carrie is so much cooler than you, Bill. And you know it.
Not even close.
You know it. I know it. We know it. And so that was my 4th of July weekend in a nutshell.
Good for you.
Champagning and campaigning with some important people in my life that I love. And talking Pistons basketball was great. And talk to the owner about Pistons basketball. And you know what I was drinking, Jacoby? You're going to like this. If I'm telling a guy on his birthday, don't get too full at a strip club, you know my drinking is an idol when I'm with the owner of the team, dog.
I'll take an ice cold iced tea, please. A little bit some lemon slices.
I'm an idol.
Yeah.
I had one double glass of rosé. Nice cold.
Over 2 hours.
Glass. I wanted him to see that I wasn't drinking it.
Would you like some more Arista Rose? No, thank you.
No, I'm good.
Thank you. But something tells me when you go to the Podfather's house, you don't have to be an idol. Not at the Podfather's house. It's family.
That's family.
Oh, you're the best. Appreciate you taking us behind the curtain on all things. Game one is tonight. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about it right here on our exclusive podcast. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We are not done.